Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I could just take the day off because Doug is here loaded with news.
We got so much stuff. There's just no way to do it all.
And it's important stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that I'll be able to talk about in a few days that's not even in your staff.
Right,
there.
Right. Yes, big things coming. Can we start with a story on the death penalty?
Yeah.
Story on the death penalty.
Very important, the death penalty.
It is. It's very important.
And all Christians should support the death penalty for every convicted murderer.
Every convicted murderer. Yes. Right. Now, this unfortunately was a burglary, and I don't want to imply that anyone deserves
the death penalty
for a burglary in broad daylight, which this apparently was. But the young man down in Barefoot Bay, Florida, the police chased him. He was doing some break-ins with a friend. The police chased him into a swampy area, and they never caught him. But a few days later, his remains were found, and he had
the
injuries.
Police shot him?
No. He had injuries.
We
support the police.
And you know, when the shooting is a little questionable, Doug, it's like the police are in a war zone.
Absolutely.
So we tend to give the benefit of the doubt to the police.
Yes.
Unless what they've done is egregious and criminal.
Yes. As a matter of fact,
I'm dying to hear about this young guy.
I'm going to finish on this burglar
remains,
in just a second. On the way over to the radio station, I was listening to a news update about the attempt to organize some riots in Chicago today. It's going on right now. They're trying to organize riots.
Yeah.
Over the reporter on the radio said over the shooting of an unarmed black teen. Have you seen the video?
I thought he had a knife.
You didn't think he had a knife. He had a knife. And he was waving it around.
Why would they say an unarmed?
I have no idea.
Isn't that a weapon?
I think so. He had a knife.
And you could even throw it in somebody's throat.
Yes, you could.
But anyway, that's the continuing narrative. Maybe the most egregious video yet, maybe. I'm not sure. And I haven't looked carefully into that case.
Yes.
But, Doug, here's how I would judge cases like that.
Okay.
Not as though you're in a nice neighborhood.
Right.
The police drive up, see a pedestrian, and unload into him.
Just shoot him down.
I wouldn't judge it like that.
No.
I would judge it as though we had soldiers in Baghdad.
Yeah.
And it's virtually house-to-house warfare.
That's about what it's like for those police officers.
And somebody did a shooting that's highly questionable, maybe immoral, maybe criminal.
But let's look at
that's
it.
That's the context I would use.
Very good.
Because it is a war zone in these cities, and especially in inner cities.
Well,
it's a war zone.
It's a war
zone. So it is different. And the police union there, they're supporting this cop at some level.
Yeah, they are.
They're raising money for his bail and
his defense.
He's got his defense. So anyway, I don't know. And it could be totally egregious and murder. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that the standard we need to use to judge the actions of these police officers is not a police standard.
Right.
It's a war zone standard.
It is. It really is.
That's what because that's how they fear for their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the facts are going to come out about that video and the whole story, and we're going to know all the details of what happened.
Yeah.
And so I won't say anything about that. But back
so
to
this kid.
Back to Matthew Riggins.
How old is he?
He was 22-year-old.
Oh, so
he's not
a kid.
Break-ins.
He's just a punk.
He's just a punk breaking into houses.
Yeah.
Probably a pothead or some kind of druggie.
Yeah.
Anyways, his remains were recovered about 10 days later. After
you keep
he got away. Yes, because he had injuries consistent with having been inside the stomach of an alligator. Police believe
Riggins. This is terrible. Stop laughing, Doug. This is Christian
radio.
It's
a tragedy.
You can't laugh.
They believe he was eaten by an alligator while he was hiding from the police.
What do you mean? That's really good hiding.
They were never going to find him, right?
Talk about hiding in plain view.
And the thing
is, you could be 20 feet from the cops and they'd have no idea. What do you mean consistent with having been inside of an alligator?
Well, apparently the gator. that not only attacked him, he ate him. He swallowed him.
But why?
This was an 11-foot alligator.
But what do you mean consistent with having been inside of an alligator?
Well, apparently police...
Did he escape? Well, did he get out?
We think he
did
may have...
Did the alligator not even want him? Did the alligator upchuck this?
I think he was regurgitated.
This punk?
But the alligator was still around. They had to euthanize the alligator. The alligator was close enough by that he could have snacked on him some more,
what a shame.
We think.
I see.
And apparently police in Florida are familiar with injuries consistent with being inside the stomach of an alligator.
Yeah, that's...
Because I'm
sure
it
happened. That's intense, isn't that?
So here's the thing, the lesson for the young folks
out
there.
If you're a Calvinist, the lesson is totally different
than
if you're a normal person.
Right.
Could you imagine being a Calvinist and reading this story?
Wow.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
From before the foundation of the earth, all this was decreed.
An alligator was prepared.
The amount of time that this guy spent being digested, every bit of it was all decreed.
All decreed from before the foundations of everything.
For an eternally perfect and necessary purpose.
Yes. Now, but if you're not a Calvinist, there's another lesson you could take from this for you young folks out there. Nobody deserves the death penalty for breaking into houses in broad daylight, but sometimes you get it because you put yourself in a position.
Yeah.
And you end up, well, dead. Yeah. This guy ended up
hiding from the cops.
Hey, and you know what, Bob? This is probably a more reliable death penalty than we have in the justice system right now. You have a better chance of getting eaten by a gator than getting the death penalty if you're a convicted murderer. It's sad.
Yeah,
end on a
if
sad
it's
note.
Sad, why are we? Why is this? Why does this strike us as funny?
So, is there
There's
anyone
poetic justice to it?
I wonder if
there's poetic justice because
there's
such an epidemic of crime, and when somebody's breaking into people's homes, they are risking the lives of somebody who might be in that home.
You never know what can happen.
We've had elderly people and victims of just being at a crime scene who get a heart attack and keel over and die.
That's right.
You break into somebody's home, that's a life and death kind of situation.
It is.
It's just, and that's why the Bible says if it happens at night and you kill the guy, you're not guilty.
Not guilty. That's
You know, and if you know there's no risk to you, no threat, then you don't just kill him. You don't have carte blanche to kill a criminal.
Right.
But if it happens at night, somebody breaks into your home and you swing at his head with a baseball bat or shoot him, you know,
it's
twice
in
the chest, once in the head, and he's dead. You're not guilty.
Nope.
He's in your home.
That's right. And it was nighttime and you didn't know and you
killed him. If there was a threat. Again, if it's a neighbor kid and you see him running out your back door, you don't kill him.
Even if he's got your stereo under one arm,
you don't
shoot
kill him.
No.
Right.
See, the Bible is very clear and consistent and logical and sensible when it comes to crime.
Right.
Yeah. Very
good. We have our God's Criminal Justice System seminar that people could download. It's
absolutely
so fascinating.
It's worth twice what you pay for it. Whatever you're charging, it's worth twice. It's worth twice that easily.
Wow.
Now, I've got other things, but I suppose we should probably address the major political football of the day.
Well, if you want, I'm just writing an email to Daryl to double the price of the criminal justice seminar.
Oh, but we are offering a discount if you order a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We got a discount going. I think if you spend $100.
For the whole month of December.
Yep.
For gifts or for yourself.
Even the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, right to the end of the month, 10% off. It's right at the top of KGov, our website.
KGOV.com.
From our store, 10% off if you purchase $100 or more. 15% off for $150, and 25% off for $200 or more.
What a steal. And so, the stuff is already underpriced.
So the discount gets better when you hit $200.
Yep. So get in there, KGOV.com.
And it'll help us stay on the air.
That's the selling of the products helps us stay on the air.
We need help.
And they're worth the money. They're worth twice the money.
Especially the monthly subscriptions.
Yes, subscribe monthly.
Yeah.
I'm doing Isaiah right now.
Isaiah.
So funny, Bob. I'm listening to your Isaiah Bible study as I'm driving hither and nigh all over the place. And you mentioned Hezekiah, and then I read the story where they uncovered Hezekiah's seal last week. That was
Isn't it awesome, Doug?
It's
wild. As we're studying Hezekiah.
Yeah.
And he's ready to die, and God heals him.
That's right.
And he's able to live another 15 years. So archaeologists in a scientific dig with the Hebrew University, they find the seal of Hezekiah, and it's modified from the seal from earlier in his reign.
Wow.
And they add the Hebrew symbol for life.
Yeah.
For life. So Hezekiah gets a new lease on life. He recovers. He gets 15 years more life, and he changes the royal seal.
Wow.
Even that is being corroborated by extra-biblical information.
Amazing. It's amazing to listen to a book that was written how long ago?
2,700 years ago.
Yeah, over 2,500 years ago, and reading a story from the newspaper today.
Today, and it corroborates so cool. Not only the book, but the part of the book, the very chapter we're studying.
It's just amazing.
And that's happened before, Doug.
Yeah.
1,000 times over, the Bible is corroborated by secular historians, archaeologists, paleontologists, and all theologists.
Why do you think that is? Why does that keep happening?
It's probably true.
Probably because the Bible is
true. I'm only kidding about the probably part.
Yes.
Because it's
no
true. Qualifiers. Because it's God's word.
Because it's true and it's God's word. All right, now let's go to the major political news of the day. We won't spend too much time on this. But Vladimir Putin has issued a veiled threat against the Islamic State. He's got some new missiles, you know. And he tested them and he showed off the pictures. And they look pretty cool.
Yeah.
They come out of a submarine up out of the water, arching over the Syrian border there. And he says, naturally, we do not need to use the nuclear weapons against the terrorists. We hope we never have to do that.
And you're calling that a veiled threat.
I think that's to even mention threat. Nuclear warheads while you're bombing someone.
It's Raqqa. It's basically a threat to turn Raqqa into igneous Raqqa.
I like
because
that.
Because metamorphic Raqqa.
Yes.
Metamorphic Raqqa. It's just, the whole thing, people should go to our website.
Yes, they should check out Raqqa.
/Raqqa.
Yeah, just check
Raqqa. So astounding for understanding the Bible, science, the history of the earth. But so, Doug, nuking Raqqa, basically that's what he's threatening.
Right. So all you people out there, if you think Donald Trump is extreme, Vladimir Putin is bringing up nuclear warheads while he's bombing Syria. Do we want to talk about Trump? Because
we should.
Perhaps
he's even when he says something good, and if we point it out, that doesn't obscure the fact that he's a child killer.
Yeah, and he's
a liar. His sister is a federal judge.
Oh,
and he said this year that she would make a fabulous Supreme Court justice.
Uh-oh.
And she has aggressively supported partial birth abortion.
That would not.
Aggressively.
That's unfortunate.
So she's a total child-killing pro-abort.
Right. Yes. And he's an unrepentant heathen. And he's a self-proclaimed unrepentant Christian. I think he says he's some kind of Christian.
Well, he says he's a
but
Christian.
But he's never asked God for forgiveness, which
well, that,
that's
you
a
can't
tough
be
one.
A Christian if you haven't asked God for forgiveness.
I thought that was the very first thing.
Yeah.
First thing I remember.
Yeah.
And
that Jesus died for my sins, so I could be forgiven.
And you have to ask God for you have to understand that you need forgiveness.
When he was asked about that, he said he's a Christian because he's running, even if he's gone to church 7 times.
Maybe.
Because he's running for office as a Republican, he says he's a Christian.
Of course.
And so he's asked, have you ever asked God for forgiveness? You don't even know. There's no comprehension of
he actually said, why would I do that?
Well, how could I ever? Why would I?
I'm a Christian. I don't need to do that. It's just unbelievable.
And so, I doubt that he thinks he's done things wrong in his life. I think he thinks he's lost some deals.
He's made some mistakes, errors in judgment, from a business and financial, wrong.
So, Doug, I'm going to give out our phone number, and then let's finish a couple more stories.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get a call. 303-463-7789. That's the back door number. The 800 number is 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278.
So I'm just wondering if Donald Trump was listening to Craig Silverman's radio show last Saturday when you called in, and you were much more eloquent than Trump.
Well, Trump, what I said to Craig Silverman, and Craig didn't disagree. In fact, it sounded like he agreed.
Of course.
That we need to end Muslim immigration. That's the word Trump didn't use.
Yeah.
He stumbled all over himself. He said, we must not allow any Muslims into the country if they're out of the country.
Right.
Well, that would mean U.S. servicemen, a businessman who's off in Milan or something.
Sure.
So, but immigration, Muslims immigrating to this country until violent Islam is a thing of history, we should stop Muslim immigration.
And you didn't get any pushback from Silverman on that.
No.
Because it's very rational to say that.
And it's a bit more clear than Trump's stumbling and making stuff up as he goes along.
Yeah,
but
much.
He's on the right track on that issue.
Yes, and it's...
Yeah. And Rupert Murdoch, speaking of evil people, Murdoch agreed with Trump.
Yes, he did.
That we need... You know, we need to put a pause on this because it's a crisis.
Right. I mean, even the heathens don't want their heads chopped off or their Christmas parties shot up. They don't want that.
No. They don't have Christmas parties anymore. Didn't somebody just resign? Because
I've got that story. Listen to this,
Bob.
No,
in California, it's a holiday party.
Holiday party.
They can't, they're so intolerant.
Yeah.
They can't say it's a Christmas
And listen
party.
To this. This is New Jersey, where you come from New Jersey. Listen to this. A city councilwoman resigned from the city council after the council voted to change the name of a ceremony. They changed the name from a tree lighting ceremony to a Christmas tree lighting ceremony, causing this councilwoman to just flip out and resign.
And that's because she's one of the beautiful people.
She's a tolerant.
She believes in
right.
in free speech, tolerance, diversity, the right of all people to express themselves. Since when do we just light trees?
We That's don't illegal, light trees. I think, to light trees.
Right.
It's dangerous.
We have Christmas tree lightings. That's why we light the tree.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the light of the world.
Yeah.
So obviously she hates Jesus.
Well, she was raised a Catholic, but now says she is a non-believer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah.
So at any rate, she's one of the beautiful people who are tolerant.
Absolutely.
And believe in diversity and free speech.
I worry about this woman. She's on the city council, which means she has no visible means of support if she loses that gig. She's going to end up in a welfare line somewhere.
Right.
Anyway.
All right. So, Doug, I know you have more news, but we got a caller.
Hey!
1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. From Columbia, Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Columbia, Kentucky. John, you're on with Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney. Welcome.
Hey, Bob and Doug. How you guys doing?
Doing great, sir. It's
good.
So thrilling to get a call from Kentucky. Howdy.
I bet it is.
Yeah, what's happening out there?
Well, we just got done slaughtering a 250-pound hog today.
Whoa.
250-pound hog. I wonder how many burglars that holds.
We were talking about that yesterday. 250 pounds. Is that sort of like there are different species of hogs, you know, from pot-bellied pets on up. But how big is that compared to the real big hogs that you see, you know, on a hog farm?
I've seen, 2,000-pound boars.
Yeah, right.
No kidding.
They if you let them get that, but of course the meat gets kind of tough and stuff. But.
Well, Will Duffy and I in Oxford, we had a wild boar dinner. They got wild boar out there. They brought it back and,
cool.
back in on the market.
Yeah.
But
GMO free, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I believe so.
So, John, congratulations for slaughtering.
Is that the purpose of your call, to tell us about slaughtering a hog?
That's good enough.
Yeah, it works for me.
It's not just an icebreaker. I thought you asked me the question, thought I'd answer it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Any animal rights activist out there?
Right. You know, we put up a sheet so people wouldn't see it, because even in Kentucky, people get offended at it.
I'm
a Gentile saved by faith. Amen.
Amen, brother. All right.
All right. So, John, what's up? Tell us about, I got a note here from Connie, who works in the studio also, that you've been listening to the show for a long time.
Actually, that's right. Back in August 3rd of 1996, I was converted. I was just going to share my testimony real quick and sharing it with Connie. She was really thrilled by it. And it was a culmination of about 8 or 9 months of watching your show, Bob.
Oh, my. So you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ after, almost a year of watching the show.
Yeah, and I found out your show was only on air for like 4 years, I think. Is that right?
Well, it depends on...
On that particular TV station.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so, to get back to my testimony, I had... was under heavy conviction. I watched Bob initially because I thought, ha, 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 here's this guy, loving Christian. Look, he's chopping people up with the Bible, all this kind of thing, right? Very excellent, though. I was enamored with it and was a faithful watcher. But God's word was coming out of your mouth, and all these logical consistencies. And I just kept getting convicted, kept having visions of hell and my condemnation coming upon me at the judgment, and I just cried out to Jesus. August 3rd, 1996, about 6 o'clock in the morning, walked down the hallway. My girlfriend was still in bed, and just got on my face for 2 or 3 hours, confessed every sin I could think of. I got up when the Holy Spirit told me I was forgiven.
Oh, wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, that's astounding, John.
Yeah,
I'm so thrilled to hear that.
Praise the Lord.
And that's, the ultimate with Bob Inert Live. We are Christians doing a talk radio show.
That's right.
And we, from the beginning, Doug, our positioning has not been that it's a Christian talk show, like a Christian bookstore. It's like people could be Christians, not things.
Yeah.
So we are Christians doing a news talk show.
Yeah.
And bringing a biblical perspective to the things we talk about. So it's not all, a lot of church leadership has been sort of feminized.
A little bit, yeah.
Emasculated.
Yeah.
Everything is, brother, bless you for calling. And, you know, even when I was a young Christian, that was nauseating to
it's
me.
It's boring.
And it certainly turns off men. I mean, it might, women and girls might be more comfortable, but I don't think many of them either.
Yeah.
But men want to be able to listen to Christian, information on air.
Amen.
Yep,
and
right.
So just something more like King David or more like Abraham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Lot gets kidnapped. Abraham arms his house and they go after the kidnappers.
Yeah.
Right.
God loved Abraham.
So
let me share a little bit more what the Lord's done with me since that's happened, if I might.
Yeah.
I was in the Navy. I retired from the Navy in 2001, right before the attack in New York. Mm. And the Lord got a hold of me again. I won't call it a second work of grace, but I would call that, I was kind of walking lukewarm for a period, unfortunately. And I came back to holiness. I came back to complete obedience in the Lord as much as I understood. Mm. And that was been about 10 years ago. And I decided I was going to just go into full-time open-air ministry.
Wow.
And I've been doing that for about 10 years, 11 years now. I just go out college campuses. I go out on the streets preaching wherever I can. I call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Amen.
John, that's extraordinary.
Awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. So, what an honor. So what campuses would you go to?
Well, this last term I went to Tennessee Tech University. University of Kentucky, I go to University of Louisville, I've been to Georgia State University, the university down in Florida, Florida State University, University of Florida, University of Central Florida. I travel quite a bit.
Yeah.
I try to get on campus a couple days a week if I can.
Wow.
And then I like to do big events like Mardi Gras. I'll go out and preach at Mardi Gras, other places like that where there's big gatherings of people. Mm. And we have a big event coming up in Nashville on New Year's. They'll have a whole week of partying.
Oh, wow.
They'll be out on the streets drunk as skunks, and we'll be out there crying aloud, spare not that the people turn from their sin. So that's where the Lord's put me now, and I've been doing that, like I said, for about 10 years now, really edified. I don't know if Jesse Morrell. He's a young preacher.
I do
he's been
know.
Preaching longer than I have. But
yeah, I know Jesse Morrell. Not well, but I think we know of one another. Sure,
he is an open view apologist.
Hey,
and,
right.
Very
yeah,
much
in fact,
Jesse on
that. Jesse Morrell helped us with our debate. Thank you for reminding me at the Brown Palace a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
with
Dr.
James White.
Right.
Yeah, he's awesome. He is an awesome guy. So, how do you know Jesse?
Well, I preached with him. I started preaching with him 8 or 9 years ago. I kind of was under his tutelage, though. He's about 30 years my junior, naturally. The Holy Spirit just all over him, and he just a firecracker for the Lord. Amen.
I think he's brilliant.
He is brilliant.
Yeah.
And very studied, and he's just running a race, and I praise God for his example and others like him. So.
Hey, John, do you know if he is aware of, or if you're aware of, in the aftermath of that debate, when Dr. James White and Sproul Jr., what's Sproul Jr.'s name?
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah, Sproul, S-P-R-O-U-L.
Sproul Jr.,
yeah.
Who got in trouble recently with that whole Ashley Madison thing.
The website
thing.
Oh,
that's right.
R.C. Sproul.
R.C. Sproul.
Son.
Right.
His son, who's involved in their Ligonier Ministries.
Yeah, that's...
After our debate, the day after our debate, R.C. Sproul Jr. was upset about the debate, and publicly, with Will Duffy, who he organized the debate with opentheism.org.
Right.
He said that Jesus, we were saying that Jesus, God the Son, took on a second nature, took on a human nature, and became flesh. And R.C. Sproul Jr. insisted that God the Son never took on a second nature and does not have two natures. We were shocked because that's called heresy. Even
that's
from
shocking.
A Reformed
that's,
perspective.
That's pretty Gnostic to me, actually.
It's heresy. It's the Nestorian heresy. And
right.
So then James White weighed in, and he doubled down, and he said, God the Son never took on a second nature. He never took on a human nature. He doesn't have two natures. I never said that he does, that he did, that he will.
Wow.
And so we have all of that in a two-minute summary video on YouTube.
And I was not aware of that. That's awesome.
Oh, please let Jesse know at opentheism.org. It's right on the top, the two-minute highlight video.
Yes, so we're still hoping that R.C. and
well,
James White repent of that.
They both need to repent of that.
Yeah, no doubt. That's shocking.
All right. So, hey, John, anything else?
Well, I just appreciate you guys so much, and I'm very thankful for the work that the Lord did through you. And I don't know if you remember, Bob, but I had sent a letter into your show, and you had actually read part of it on the air.
Way back when.
Way back when. It was probably the first year you were on in Hawaii.
In the olden days.
Wow.
Old school.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it. And your apologetics, the precept apologetics, I didn't learn until about 7 or 8 years ago, but I went back and was watching some of your shows. I'm going, well, he's doing precept right there. No wonder I thought it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
so
much.
Hey, John, how much you get for a pound of bacon in Kentucky these days?
Well, it's a top secret, but I tell you, we make good bacon for about $3 a pound.
Is that right? Well, send us a sample, and maybe we'll set up. We'll order some.
Wouldn't it be bad by the time it got here?
Oh no, you can overnight that bacon.
Yeah,
John, you're a blessing, brother. Thank you, very encouraging.
Okay, I really appreciate
Thanks.
You guys. Okay, God bless you guys.
Amen.
Have a good day.
God bless you.
God bless you. Awesome.
On Monday, Greg Jackson said something on this show.
Yeah,
he said that with the officer at the Planned Parenthood mill that was murdered.
Mr. Swayze.
Garrett Swayze.
Garrett Swayze.
Signing our personhood petition.
Yeah.
I mean, we put it on Colorado Right to Life's website.
I saw
right
the
there.
Picture, Bob. I got a chill.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a chill.
Yeah.
It was...
I mean, this is nationally newsworthy.
Wow.
Stunning. So Greg said the mainstream media, they're not interested. They don't care.
I would guess, yeah.
So to test that, we sent a copy of it to a reporter at the New York Times who had contacted us about the shooting in the spring.
Sure, yeah.
We said, and by the way, here's the petition where the officer who was killed signed the personhood petition.
Wow.
Got an email today.
It's going to break on the New York Times.
Got an email today from the reporter. Bob, I just can't do anything with this right now.
He's not.
Feel free to send it elsewhere.
The New York Times will not break the story.
So Greg Jackson was right.
Yeah. Greg, you nailed it again.
As usual. We won't be fooled again.
Yeah.
God bless you guys.